Support for this episode comes from T-Mobile. We're a lot more than just baseball fans. We're baseball fanatics. And thanks to T-Mobile, we can stay connected to the game we love with 5G in more places. T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. So whether you're home or away, you're never far from your favorite team with America's largest and fastest 5G network. Don't get caught looking. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. Fastest according to OpenSignal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G experience report, April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Around the Corner. I am Matt Schlichting, joined as always by Brian Heminger. Brian, how are you?
It's good to be back.
Yes, it is. I know it's been a little while since we were last able to podcast, but we come bearing news. We cannot bring gifts because we are not physically present when you listen to this podcast, but
we give them the gift of our voice and knowledge.
Who are we to deny the people knowledge?
There we go.
So with no further ado, we will move through our top 10 prospects list, but I think we have a small housekeeping note here at the top, correct?
Yes, Tristan McKenzie did graduate, so he no longer has his official rookie status. So
get out, cool. Tristan. Leave and never return.
Yep, get out of here. I think Bobby Bradley also graduated. So
get out, Bobby.
Yeah, we've had quite a few. Chang graduated earlier, and I think Karinchak graduated last year. Class A's got to be getting close, he may have already. I think Sandlin did as well.
And it's exciting to see that, for the most part, these are guys that are getting opportunities at the major league level as well and contributing, especially in Bradley's case. Not only is he hitting home runs, but he is taking, like, centerfold pictures, apparently.
Yeah, he's stealing hearts. And I think, the thing that excites me the most when, players graduate is it gives an opportunity for some other players to get some shine. Like when somebody graduates, MLB Pipeline just, doesn't just pretend they don't exist anymore and drop it down to our top 29 players. They throw in somebody else. They were able, because of all the graduations we've been having lately, they added Richard Palacios back to their top 30. Ernie Clement, your boy, who may be losing his rookie or his prospect status. He's in there now. And John Kenzie Noel, who got off to such a strong start for Lynchburg. So they are all now listed on MLB Pipeline's top 30. But the one thing is before they kind of re-rank mid-season after like taking a look at like how people are performing, when they come in, they are literally just filling it in. So it's like 28, 29, and 30 right now. But honestly, I would have those guys a little bit higher. Let's get right along here. So Nolan Jones, he has been playing pretty well.
And I know that there's some rumblings about him potentially coming up soon, but it did not happen today.
We had, Oscar Mercado got the call with Josh Naylor's injury. I mean, I mentioned that if Nolan was going to get a chance, it was probably going to be because somebody else got hurt. And, unfortunately, Naylor is done for the season. And they decided to go with Mercado, who had been playing pretty well as well at the minors for the past month or so. So, he deserved it. He at least deserves another look especially after what he did the very first time he was up, maybe not last year, but, the potential is there. So we'll see if he can make the best of this situation because, Zimmer was doing great and now he's striking out way too much and just not showcasing enough pop with his bat. So the opportunity is there for Mercado to seize it. And if he doesn't, then somebody else is going to get that chance because we've got, Daniel Johnson. We've got Nolan, knocking on the door.
And our friend, Mr. Jones, can only control what it is that he can control. And the past week, 300, 300, 700 for a fancy little slash line, according to what I'm looking at here.
He did, have some nice extra base pop this past week. It was really weird that he didn't walk once. That is like kind of his calling card. He made up for that by making really, really good contact. I mean, three doubles, a triple, and a home run.
Yeah, this is where I wish I could easily see how deep he was getting into counts. Because if he was sitting like 2-0, 3-0 half the time, then no, Like, I don't want to see walks if they groove one to him, right? I want him to swing at those.
What's interesting is I think Fangraphs has him projected, like, if he gets called up, that his WRC plus would be about 100 at the major league level.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
It is.
Moving on, we have Tyler Freeman. And got some bad news with Freeman. He's not on the injured list, but he has not played for a week. Basically, he took a big cut at a, you know, during an at-bat and kind of tweaked his shoulder. And from what I heard, they don't think it's like super serious, but they are being extremely careful with him. I mean, as careful as you could physically be. So for the moment, they are just saying, hey, we're going to hold you out and we are going to 100% make sure you are good to go. I mean, you saw what just happened with, what was it, Starlin Marte, you know, had a little hamstring thing and they rushed him back and now he's back on the injured list with, after re-aggravating the hamstring thing in his first at-bat.
And I feel like Emily Walden had reported on Tyler Freeman here. Haha. Yeah, she on the 27th said potentially he'll be back for the next series, but he is going to be day-to-day moving forward. So hopefully we see him shortly. But again, like you said, the number two prospect in the system, there's no rush. Come back when you're healthy.
And then Bo Naylor, on the other hand, he's been doing really well. So over the period of June 22nd to June 26th that he's been playing, over four games, he slashed 357, 400, 357. So no power, but went 5-for-14 with a walk. So he's, you know, making some good adjustments. Seems like he is slowly starting to figure things out a little bit, kind of like he did last year where, you know, or 2 years ago when he made that big jump, skipped a level and went straight to full season ahead of like all of his other peers. And right now he is ahead of all of his other peers, one of the youngest players in Double A. So, you know, struggles were expected as we've talked about in previous podcasts, but it seems like he is starting to very slowly figure things out at Double A, which is a great sign. And he got some really good news today. He's going to be the Indians representative in the Futures game,
which is really cool. I know there was some debate. I heard you and Lyons talking before about why they might have picked him, but it's a great nod for him. And
yeah,
the other thing I'm excited about is if he keeps improving at the rate he has been, then I think by the time he's 28, he'll be hitting like 700, 800, 900 for the Indians. And I can't wait for that.
That would be nice. we may have to go through, you know, some growing pains, you know, some Perez-esque
batting progression numbers. Progression is perfectly linear, Brian. We know this.
But yes, it is a good sign. So hopefully he can take advantage of all these opportunities he's getting. And then next up, we've got George Valera.
And I have a quick question for you on him. It looks like this past week he played like the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th. Is he just getting off days here and there?
And I believe they have been dealing with a lot of rain issues as well. So that has been affecting their chances. But yes, he only did play three games this past week. And I'm sure he did have a couple off days as well. So in those three games, he went 3-for-11, had a triple, scored three runs, stole a base, was hit by three pitches. So maybe that also could have affected that he didn't play every game.
Coach, I'm sore.
No walks, but he took three for the team. Maybe they weren't appreciative of his bat flips. I don't know. So
yeah. I think they're so glorious that, dude, I would groove one to him just to see.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is why I never quite made it as an athlete.
Next up, we've got Gabriel Arias, and he had a sensational week. In fact, he is one of our top five for the week. Spoiler alert. Arias in five games went 7-for-18, slashed 389, 450, 611. With a double and a home run, walked twice, scored eight runs, and had a 183 WRC plus. So that was smoking. I mean, what more can you ask, right?
He could have hit another home run.
I mean, he is 21 years old at AAA, and he's doing that. That is so exciting.
It's very encouraging, and he's not even the only shortstop on that roster right now who's raking, which is just funny.
Oh, yeah, We'll get there. But, yeah, our middle infielders are performing at a very high level right now. Next up, we've got Daniel Espino.
He just made the one start last Wednesday. Is that correct?
Yes, he's actually starting. I believe he is just finishing his start today as we are talking, because they are having a doubleheader and he was pitching game one. So
of course, it's a doubleheader.
Yep. So because of all the games that they've unfortunately been missing. But in his one previous start, he went five innings, shutout innings with eight strikeouts. So elite. Only had one hit allowed. So he is doing great. He is living up to all the hype. I am all aboard the Daniel Espino hype train.
As you should be.
Yeah, because, I mean, he is, let me double check, 20 years old, throwing 101 miles an hour and just murdering people. So that's really, really exciting. I can actually pull up his stats from today's game quick, too. Let's see here. It looks like he is still pitching right now, but he has gone 5 1/3 and struck out 13 with one walk.
Excuse me?
Yeah. So that's exciting.
That's phenomenal.
I had heard that he struck out 8 in his first 3 innings.
Okay.
So sure. He is keeping that pace. Unfortunately, he has been the victim of extreme batted ball bad luck, because one walk, 4 hits. How many runs do you think he would be allowing in that, having given up, having a whip of 1, less than 1, over 5 1/3 innings?
Given that the standard absurdity factor for the universe is exponentially increasing daily, I'm going to say 7.
No, it's 4.
It's still ridiculous.
Yeah. So, yeah, because they don't even have any errors or anything. So there are literally only 5 people that could get on base, and 4 of them have somehow scored. He is in line to take the loss, striking out 13 and 5 1/3. So, yeah. I think I know what I'll be typing about tomorrow minor league recap.
What else can you say except, fuck, kid, I don't know. Tough luck.
Yeah, but let me check. How many pitches is he at? Yeah, 84 pitches. So he's in line to go 6 innings if he can keep this up.
That's one that, like you said, you just chalk up to bad luck, distribution, whatever. Our next contestant on Around the Corner is Brian Rocchio.
Ah, yes. And Mr. Rocchio had an interesting week. Basically, he played 3 games. Just like, Valera. No, he played 4 games because they had a doubleheader on one of the days. And he didn't do half bad. He went 5 for 17, slashed 294, 368, 412. Had a nice little 119 WRC plus. Had 2 doubles. Scored 4 runs. Stole a base. Was hit by a pitch. Had a walk. So, well above average as, you know, a recently turned 20-year-old at high A. Can't ask for more than that.
Not realistically, anyway.
So, yeah, keep it up, Rocchio. Then our boy Aaron Baracco as well. You know, that killer trio on Lake County. Let's see. I'm assuming that he played a similar group of games. Yeah, he also played 4 games. Did not have quite the same week. Only went 3 for 16 with a 188 batting average. Although on-base percentage was 278 because he did walk a couple times. But and did not hit any extra base hits. So not his best week, but that's okay. You can't always be amazing.
We will not remove him from the podcast, although he technically does meet the criteria for elimination.
And then obviously still no updates on Ethan Hankins. And then last but not least, Josh Wolf, who I have a bad feeling is going to be dropping out of our top 10. He had 1 start this past week, and he went 2 1/3 innings, gave up 3 runs, 2 earned on 4 hits, didn't walk anybody, and had 4 strikeouts.
It just doesn't seem like he's shown anything particularly. I hate to say he seems like he's just a guy, but I don't know.
I mean,
maybe it's just that we haven't seen enough of him yet. He is new to our system, right?
I mean, they are still stretching him out. He is like the longest he has pitched all season is 4 innings. And
oh, I am being way too hard on him then.
He did have 3 times that he's gone 4 scoreless innings, but he has balanced that out by having some really, really bad outings. Like he had one where he went 4 innings, but gave up 7 runs, or one where he went 1/3 of an inning and gave up 5 runs. I mean, those are going to skew your numbers. So for him, he needs to be more consistent. Like his first start of the season was sensational. He went 4 innings and struck out 7 with 1 walk. And then he's just kind of been up and down and up and down and up and down all season.
And it's like, I guess it's always tough for these guys in the minors too, because I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, and some of like Justin Latta, Gage, some of the other writers on Indians Twitter. You never know when a guy is told, like, hey, you can't throw your changeup today unless you get to 0-2, right?
Before this season, he had only pitched 8 career innings, and that was back in 2019 in, like, the rookie league.
I'm so sorry.
Because he was a high school pitcher. Yeah, he was a high school pitcher drafted back in 2019.
I am so sorry. I said he might just be a guy. I retract that statement. He may very well still be a dude.
Yeah.
We shall see.
He definitely could still be a dude. But I will completely understand if people would, you know, be more interested if we were following along somebody that was having a bit more of an impactful season so far.
Such as one of the 5 names to follow. Good Lord.
We have had some really interesting top performers. We're going to kick it off with Oscar Gonzalez again. This guy has been a revelation this year. Like, he has always been interesting. Like, in the previous, you know, he was one of our, you know, unranked guys that we were following along throughout the season. It's time for him to start getting some love. It really is. This past week at AA, he played 7 games, slashed .462, .500, .846. Went 12 for 26 at the plate with 4 doubles and 2 home runs. He even walked twice in the same game.
Yeah!
This is the guy that I think entered the season with like a 2% career walk rate.
Well, they gave him the ball the first time he drew a walk.
They saved the ball like it was some of his first career, you know, strikeout as a pitcher or first career hit, because it took him like 2 months to walk his first time back in 2019.
Yeah, he's hit the Django point where he had my curiosity, but now he has my attention. I'm all in on Oscar Gonzalez now. This is fun.
Right now, he is leading. Like, it was hilarious. Indians Pro on Twitter posted his rankings in the Cleveland system in, like, every offensive category. And he just basically put, like, you know, batting average, home runs, doubles, triples, all the way down, WRC+. On-base percentage, OPS, everything, all the way down. And it was just 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1 all the way down. I think the only thing he's not leading in is, like, stolen bases. He's even leading in, like, outfield assists because he's got, like, an 80-grade cannon arm. I am all aboard. You know, what's funny is the first time he got, like, a sample of AA, he did not play very well. This was back in 2019. But he is clearly responding. I know they just promoted Alex Call to AAA to, you know, because Mercado got called up to Cleveland. And Call deserved it. He's been having a great season at AA as well. But, I mean, Oscar Gonzalez needs to be up there too. Like, he is ready. I mean, he is, like, we have not been protecting him in the Rule 5 draft. We need to protect him this year. Like, somebody is going to take him if we don't. Like, I understand it, you know, you're certain that nobody's going to take him. You know, people were worried about the lack of walks and everything. But I'm saying right now, if they do not protect Oscar Gonzalez in the Rule 5 draft this November, he is going to Santander us. It's like that they are going to get Santandered. And they'll have no one to blame for themselves, because at least Santander had not even made it to AA, right? So, like, that still, you know, irks me that they were able to sneak that one through. But Gonzalez is doing this at AA this early in the season. Yeah, he is, and has the potential to do this at AAA. So he is close.
Our next man up on the list is Gabriel Arias, who played 5 games, went 7 for 18 with a .389, .450, .611 slash line. He managed to sneak in a couple of extra base hits, including a dinger, 2 walks, 8 runs, and a WRC plus of 183.
Yes, very, very nice performance by Arias, as we mentioned, you know, in his top 10, but just keep it up, you know. He is just like, you know, we talk about Bo Naylor, one of the youngest players at AA, Angel Martinez, one of the youngest players at AAA, or at a low A, Joe Naranjo, one of the youngest players at high A. Arias is one of the youngest players at AAA. So, you know, everybody's like freaking out that Wander Franco just got called up at 20 years old. I mean, Arias is at AAA putting up these kind of numbers at 21. So, I mean, it is not that far off. I am loving that Clevinger trade more and more every day. So, next up, we have another AAA middle infielder in Andrés Giménez, who started the year at Cleveland. He was actually in our top 5 last podcast because he was on a 7-game home run streak. What did he do this time?
Giménez went 10 for 25. Interesting slash line of 400, 407, 600. A triple, 3 doubles, a walk, 2 stolen bases, and the WRC plus floats up to 160. So he is still hitting the ball quite, quite well.
He is locked in, so that's exciting. I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing. I'm so glad to see, as we mentioned in the previous podcast, that he's not moping that he got sent down, and he is just taking advantage of all these everyday at-bats and just becoming a better player. So, I mean, he is scorching right now at AAA. Next up, we've got the one true Logan Allen, Logan T. Allen, who...
He has clearly won the battle,
even though the other Logan Allen is starting today, I think, or is supposed to. Logan T. Allen had one start this past week, and he went 6 shutout innings with a walk and 9 strikeouts. Only allowed 4 hits. He is just devastating right now.
Clearly, this is what Jamie Renner was referring to when he tweeted at us. Logan Allen is greater than Logan Allen, no further questions at this time. Slapping for like 5 minutes.
So that's been great. I mean, at this point, it's time to promote him. I mean, he has been doing this all season. He hasn't had a bad start all year. He has been great from day one. He stretched out enough to be putting out quality starts. So give him the opportunity to do it at a more challenging level. Like at this point, the only reason they would not be promoting him is they want to give him a chance to pitch at like his all-star game for the Midwest League and then get promoted. Like, that's the only reason.
I would actually be really curious to talk to some guys about, do the minor league all-star games mean anything really?
I mean, future game probably, but I don't know about the other ones. Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you get invited to do a home run derby, sure. But, and so the last guy on our list, I find this hilarious, is who we were hunting, trying to figure out who to round out the list with. And then Brian came across these numbers, and I think the answer was basically, oh, fuck, we're
yeah,
dumb.
How did we miss this one? Yeah. So Brian Lavastida, you know, one of our best hitting catching prospects in the system, in 4 games, he went 9 for 16. He posted a redonkulous slash line of 563, 556. Notice the on base is lower than the batting average. And then his slugging percentage was 1,125. So
when you're in the one
dots. They had to move a whole decimal point over for him. Like, he was literally worth 1 1/8 bases every time he had an at-bat. That's how good he was. So, yeah, Brian Lavastida was an absolute hoss. Scored 6 runs, hit 3 home runs, knocked in 5 RBIs, and had a mind-blowing 323 WRC+. And for those of you that don't understand how WRC+ works, basically, if your WRC+ is over 100, that means whatever percentage or whatever number past 100 is the percent that you were better than the league average player. So he was 323% better than the average player at high A. Like, literally, it would take three other dudes, and that's to make up for his production this past week, and that still wouldn't be enough. Yeah, he was a hoss. So, well done, Brian LaVastita. He also was added to the MLB Pipeline Top 30. So, they are clearly noticing him. So, that is exciting. This brings us to our next portion of the show, the Carnegie Cupboard. So, Matt, let's hear about your Carnegie Cupboard, because I think you have some announcements to make.
Yes, Ernie Clement, Ascendancy, has left the cupboard and presumably will spend his time on the countertop and or stovetop moving forward. And so I needed a new hitter to bring into the feature, and Clark Scolamiero is who I have settled on. He just got reassigned yesterday, I believe, and so is going to be starting in center field for Lake County, correct? Or have I totally lost my mind? And he, former 22nd round pick, as you pointed out, he was a community college kid, 25 years old, totally not a prospect at all, but kind of some interesting numbers for his career. Manages to walk a decent amount, strikes out a little bit too much, but hasn't played since 2019 at all, and still manages to put up some effective hitting numbers while being a speedster, stealing bases, not really hurting anybody on the team. So I'm curious to see how he does. This will be fun to follow. It's sort of an org depth guy, maybe, but it's always fun with these players to see. Maybe he'll put on a little bit of a show, and maybe he'll have his Jerry Sands moment or something even better than that.
And my position player, Micah Priest, did not play the whole last week. So he was dealing with an injury before. He got activated from his injury, and he did great. Like, the entire week before that, I just checked, and he, you know, put up a really good slash line, 385, 500, 615 with a home run and two stolen bases. And he has not played since June 22nd. So, unfortunately, don't know what's up with him, if he's hurt again or what. But hopefully he can get back out there, because he is having a very good season. He just needs to be on the field. So, wishing him the best in whatever he is dealing with at the moment. And then your boy Eric Mock, I believe?
Yes. So, he had one game in the last week. Came in for three innings, gave up five hits, facing 14 batters, had an earned run, had a walk, had a strikeout, but hey, those are effective innings. So we will continue to keep an eye on him. I believe it was a piggyback, since he did not get credit for the start, but he is stretched out as sort of that 3-4 inning role, and I'm still enjoying what I see from him. We'll just we'll continue to ride it out and root for him.
And then for my boy, Francisco Perez, who has been one of the best pitchers in Cleveland system this year.
Sensational.
Yes. He earned a promotion to AAA. Now, the very first appearance didn't go so hot. Had some bad luck. I believe a couple inherited runners when he left the game. Ended up scoring. Not 100% his fault, but still they went to him. But in this past week, you know, that was over a week ago. So for the past week, he had two more appearances at AAA and returned to form with 3 1/3 scoreless innings, only allowing one hit, no walks, two strikeouts. Now, he's not just blowing away hitters like he was at AA, but to go 3 1/3 scoreless one hit innings with a couple strikeouts, that's pretty good in two appearances. So very, very good. He is clearly becoming one of our most interesting left-handed pitching prospects in the system at this point.
Moving along to transactions, I believe we just have...
We've got quite a few, actually. I deleted them because they were from the previous podcast. But we'll just get it rolling along here. So Stephen Kwan got activated. Outfielder Stephen Kwan got activated from the injured list in Akron. Nick Enright was promoted. He has been one of the best bullpen arms at Lake County. He got promoted to Akron. Shane McCarthy and Aaron Pinto, both in Akron, were placed on the injured list. McCarthy had been a starter. and he had right elbow injury. So we don't know how serious that is. It's the they only do 7-day injured list, and they don't really specify other than just says elbow. So that's kind of scary. And Pinto was right shoulder down in Lynchburg. Christian Cairo was placed on the 7-day injured list with side discomfort. Our boy Jonathan Rodriguez was activated from the injured list in Lynchburg. And Eric Mock, your guy, was promoted back to Akron. So that was very nice. Alex Call, with Mercado going to Cleveland, was promoted from Akron to Columbus. And then in a move because of that, Daniel Schneeman, one of my favorite names in the Indian system, and especially if you spell it, because there are like double N's at the end on top of the Schneeman. But he got promoted to Akron from Lake County. And because of that, as a result, Scolamiero got pulled from extended spring training to Lake County. We did have a little bit of sad news. Hosea Nelson, who I interviewed way back right after he got drafted, was released from the system. Miguel Yerez, an infielder, was promoted to Lynchburg from extended spring training. And this is kind of interesting. They just started, like literally yesterday, the Arizona Complex League. Now, it's instead of the AZL, it's called the ACL, which is just silly because they named their league after a ligament. I assumed that Petey Halpin would be debuting in the Arizona League. And all of a sudden, you know, right at the last second, they pulled his name from the roster when you were looking it up. And I was like, why did they do that? He is now being promoted to Lynchburg. So he is going to debut as a pro in full season ball just at the same time that he would have been debuting in Arizona. So they are challenging him.
Why play for a ligament when you can play for the health?
Exactly. In terms of anything else, Justin Garza got promoted to Columbus, got to make his pro debut in the Major League Baseball, which is pretty exciting. Anything else stands out? Nope, that's it. So a lot of moves, but a few pretty exciting ones.
That brings us to our listener questions for the week. We will start with Izzo Nunzio, who asks, is Francisco Perez the most likely second lefty option should he continue to have success, or is it Henches sliding into the role? Goes seems to be fading as an option.
Yeah, Goes has been inconsistent. I mean, he did get to pitch for Team USA as well, Goes did, so that was a bit of a unique experience for him. But absolutely, Francisco Perez at this point, I mean, he's been the best or one of the best pitchers in the Cleveland minor league system all season, and now he's at AAA, and it seems like he's settling right in at AAA as well. He is throwing, you know, mid to upper 90s with his fastball, and he seems to be doing just fine as kind of a reliever that can give you multiple innings. Because, I mean, he was a starter, and I assumed that if he was just keeping this up, they're going to be like, screw it, let's get him to starting. You know, we need starters right now. But they've been pretty adamant that he stays in the bullpen. And at this point, he is one of our best left-handed options. I mean, Kyle Nelson has been mildly ineffective. He's kind of been bouncing up and down between Cleveland and Columbus. They're kind of using him as a, you know, we need to make a move, let's send Kyle back down type of situation with him. And Henches has been inconsistent because, you know, the biggest thing that has always been his drawback has been his control. And Perez does not seem to be having any issues with walks whatsoever. I mean, his whip is practically negative. I mean, it is nuts. So
yeah, that is low.
I mean, it is one of the, I believe, the lowest in the system. So he is keeping guys off base. He is not putting them on himself with walks, and he's striking people out at a ridiculous rate. So if he keeps this up, I would not be shocked to see him be in Cleveland as an option. I mean, at this point, he might even be our best left-handed option, honestly. But they are going to give the guys that are currently on the 40-man roster, like Logan Allen and Henches and Nelson, the opportunities first. And if they do fail, then maybe something will open up. But he absolutely is one of our top options as a lefty.
Next up, it seems like, for sure. It just depends on the success of others and what the team needs. So our next listener question comes from Billy Manziel 15, who asks, who from our overflow of middle infield prospects is most likely to be part of a future trade deal slash eaten by Buntotron. I added question, that last part.
Yeah, I know. That question is getting harder and harder to answer every day, especially, you know, since Ahmed Rosario has been a revelation for the past 2 months. And that's making things difficult because we've got this just insane amount of players that can play shortstop. And I mean, maybe you move Rosario to second just because, you know, he is not a glove first shortstop, but he has been so effective offensively. You just can't take him out of the lineup. You don't want to DH him. You know, he's too good of an athlete. He's too fast. So he's kind of making, forcing the issue as well. So at some point they are going to have to make some tough decisions, and we do have that roster crunch coming in November. So there are multiple players that need to be added to the 40 man roster, including, I believe, Tyler Freeman, Aaron Bracco, George Valera, Brian Rocchio. I believe Gabriel Arias is already on the 40 man. I'm not 100% sure on that, but if he's not, he needs to be added. So, I mean, the smartest thing to do is clump a few of them together and trade for a good pitcher, like, because we need one right now, like a veteran pitcher, and it would be worth it. I mean, use this, especially since these days, you know, prospects are at an even higher quality in terms of what they can get back. Like, because you're trading away like superstars and getting back like the team's like eighth best prospect, right? So you trade away one of these guys, you could get something really good back. Like, prospects are at an absolute premium right now in terms of their value. So
I would say that, like, anyone who's not on the 40-man roster today who isn't Tyler Freeman, I don't know, man. Like, we have so many players. I could see Owen Miller moved. I could see Arias moved. Freeman, to me, kind of feels like the one person they wouldn't necessarily want to touch. But boy, if the right offer comes across the table, I don't think there's such a thing as an untradeable player, right? Especially when they're not on the major league team yet.
Yeah, because Cleveland is in that kind of mode of just keep winning, you know, not win now. It's keep the winning going for a long, long time.
Shoot for 94 and let the playoffs be the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and they're in that situation right now. Like, they literally absolutely could go and grab a veteran pitcher that is on the market with, you know, a small package of prospects easily right now. I think they should do it. They absolutely should do it. I mean, you're not going to be able to give an opportunity for every single one of these guys to play. And yeah, it could bite you in the ass down the road if they become a superstar, but there are just too many good middle infield prospects. That, I mean, they just have a bounty of them.
Ask the Cubs if they miss Gleyber Torres, right? Not so much.
Well, maybe not this year as much, but the last couple years they did. But
banners, no, fly forever.
Exactly. It was worth it for them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Our next question from Pandemicleo. I trust I'm pronouncing that correctly. When is Oscar Gonzalez going to be called up to Columbus and then Cleveland?
I mean, at this point, he's the next man up to Columbus. I mean, if there is a need whatsoever for an outfielder there, like maybe Daniel Johnson gets called up, we have another injury or something, Daniel Johnson gets called up, or Nolan Jones gets called up or something like that, Gonzalez is absolutely going up. I mean, we've already talked about this. I mean, he is a stud. He is having a ridiculous season and is only a matter of time. Now, in terms of Cleveland, they're probably going to make him prove himself at AAA because that is a bit of a jump. And that is, you know, the next thing right before Cleveland. So, you know, I highly doubt that if he even goes to Columbus and is hot for a week or something that they would call him up. I mean, he's going to have to keep proving himself over and over again because, you know, people were doubters on him because he didn't have any patience at the plate. And yeah, his numbers are better this year than that department, but they're still low, like 5% walk rate. I mean, that would be one of the lower ones at the major league level too. So he is always going to have some doubters and he's always going to have to keep proving himself. But at this point, I mean, he is just doing it over and over and over again. So there's actually one more Oscar Gonzalez question that was sent my way. I just didn't get a chance. It was sent to me on Twitter personally. So Matt Dallas said, is the current production we're seeing from Oscar Gonzalez consistent with how the tools project, or is he overachieving?
I would say he's overachieving, but with each passing day, you sort of have to scoot the floor up a centimeter.
Exactly.
Right?
And on top of that, I mean, he has always had a good hit tool. I mean, he led the organization in hits back in 2019. So, I mean, the guy clearly knows how to make good, solid contact. What he's doing this year, though, I think that has been really exciting. He's turning some of that really hard contact into out of the park contact. I think with 11 home runs right now, which is leading all Cleveland minor leaguers. So, I mean, he has been absolutely sensational. So, yes, he is overachieving, but in terms of, I mean, I think it's something he can continue doing. I mean, the guy just rakes. He rakes. He has raked at every level he has ever played at. I mean, the first time he ever played in the United States, he won the AZL MVP. I mean, he has been raking his entire minor league career. The only time he didn't rake was that when he got promoted to Double A for the first time, and High A to Double A is the hardest transition in minor league baseball. And I think his very first taste of Dominican Summer League ball when he was like 16 or 17 or something. So, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that one because he followed that up with an MVP season at the AZL. So yeah, the guy just hits. It's just people have been doubting him because he doesn't walk and he's not patient. But I mean, the tools are loud offensively and he's got a cannon arm. Let me double check this quick on how many.
And while you look up his assists.
Yeah, I want to see how many he's had this year.
He right now strikes me as you're playing out of the park baseball. It's been a while since you went through your like lower minor leagues. You just want to see if anybody's improved. And all of a sudden you come across a guy who like out of nowhere, his contact potential is 115 out of 100. This seems to be Oscar Gonzalez.
He is on pace to set a career high in outfield assists. He has 5 so far to start this season.
Oh, my goodness.
He has literally gunned down 5 dudes on the base path from the outfield. Yeah, just a cannon arm. Now, in terms of defense, I have not heard the greatest reviews in terms of, you know, that he can cover the, you know, a lot of ground or make some crazy diving Zimmer plays or something. But if he can just hold his own in the outfield and then occasionally and keep people from like taking that extra base with his arm, that's going to do it for me with what he does offensively.
You don't need a ton of range in the corners in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Especially like left field where you don't even have to cover that much. You know, he could just be a Brantley.
Yeah. Wrigley, it is not.
I mean, Brantley wasn't the greatest defensive player, but because he had a really good arm, like he was just constantly gunning people down out there. So
I think
that would be perfect for Oscar Gonzalez. Next up, we have one last question here. Tim Korb 89601888 asks, which young Tribe infielder will have the best MLB career? And he gives us a list of 4 to choose from: Owen Miller, Ernie Clement, Nolan Jones, or Andrés Giménez.
So Tim, I'm going to screw you with your pants on. You did not specify playing career. And so the answer is Ernie Clement, who will go on to have a phenomenal MLB. Broadcasting career.
He did say MLB career, but yes, he did not say playing career. And Ernie Clement, if you have not seen his Twitter or like his social media, he is hilarious.
I feel like he'll be in front of the camera one day. It feels inevitable.
He oozes personality. In terms of playing career, I mean, you got to say Nolan Jones. The tools are so loud. Yeah. I mean, the guy just gets on base and he hits the ball hard with power, and being a powerful left-handed hitter in Cleveland. I mean, what more can you hope for than having that short right field line to just jack home runs? I mean, the only thing that could hold Jones back is if he gets platooned, like if he cannot hit lefties. I mean, that's my only fear with him, honestly. Everything else, I mean, he is locking in terms of playing really well at AAA. Like, he is figuring it out. Still pretty young for that level at 23.
My dream is that they start selling Nolan Jones nachos in the corner. And if Nolan Jones hits a home run and it lands in your nachos, you win a prize.
A date with Nolan Jones?
Brian, goodness. I know we're enthused about the man, but goodness.
I mean, if you're willing to sacrifice a $20 helmet and nachos, you should get a date with Nolan Jones. So I'm just saying.
A hearty handshake, at least. With your hands covered in nacho cheese. All right.
That could be the new grip.
The sticky substance. Oh, yeah. What would you call that? It's just a cheese ball?
Swiss 'em instead of stick 'em.
Perhaps with that, we come to the end of the Around the Corner podcast. And as per... this is a tradition as long as I can recall. We will be reading a poem by the wonderful E.E. Gammings.
All right, Brian, let's hear it.
Are we ready to wrap things up?
Let's wrap it up.
A second baseman named Mike Freeman carried the fair demon. Bruce Willis's pretend that clandestinely tend exercised the tough Damon.
Support for this episode comes from T-Mobile. We're a lot more than just baseball fans. We're baseball fanatics. And thanks to T-Mobile, we can stay connected to the game we love with 5G in more places. T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. So whether you're home or away, you're never far from your favorite team with America's largest and fastest 5G network. Don't get caught looking. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. Fastest according to OpenSignal awards based on average speeds in USA 5G experience report April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.